That's what we're talking about today. I'm excited to introduce this series as we talk about discipleship and discipleship 101 and back to the basics and from faith to following. We talked about all these things in these last couple of weeks as getting ready for today. And so we're talking about today a factor that potentially can shape everything about your spiritual health. And that's one of those things that gets me a little excited. Right? I just love talking about this, so I'm excited to be here. Thanks for staying, even though you found out Dr. Trammell wasn't here. And whatever freshly doctored means, I guess that's me. I don't know. We're good. Glad to be here. We are going to be in Mark 1, and we're going to take off and look at the gospel and Jesus and the disciples in Mark 1 and what it means to follow. Mark is most likely writing down Peter's eyewitness account of the events of Jesus' ministry. And so it's kind of important for us as we look at Mark, we think about Peter, right? Peter's the disciple, one of the three. He's one of the guys that was with Jesus all the time. And so it's important for us to understand he knows a little bit about discipleship. He knows a little bit about following Jesus. And then another thing important to Mark is his pace. You read through the book of Mark, and we're fixing to hit a couple of them, and it just moves. 16 chapters seems like nothing. Mark uses this phrase, and immediately, and immediately, and immediately, and immediately, over and over and over. And it moves us through the Gospel of Mark in no time. But we find out what's most important, and there's no delay between our response of Jesus' call on our life and the call to follow. It's to be immediate. Let's look at chapter 1. Look at verses 16 through 20. It says this, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become what? Fishers of men. What's the next phrase? And immediately, what did they do? They left their nets and they followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending nets. And immediately, he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with their hired servants and followed him. We're going to look at two things, what it means to follow, and then we're going to focus on an application. And three things that are a part of the application. So write a one and a two. What does it mean to follow? And the first thing it means is this, is that you and I have to respond to Jesus' invitation to salvation. Sounds simple. That's a no-brainer. We've got to respond to Jesus' invitation to salvation. Jesus walks up to a couple of fishermen. He's a carpenter. And he says, follow me. And they don't say, let me think about it for a minute. They don't say, let me get this net in. Let me say bye to my dad. It says, and immediately, Peter's recounting this probably for Mark, and Mark's writing it down, and he's saying, and immediately, they left their nets. They responded to Jesus' invitation to salvation. And as disciples, before we can go any further along in our following, we have to respond to Jesus' invitation to salvation. What does that look like? Well, we say yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we say yes to the forgiveness of sins. We say yes to an eternal destiny change. That's the gospel. Mark, right before verse 16, says, the time is fulfilled, the good news is here. And it's the fact that Jesus entered the world to draw you and I to himself, that we might never be the same. That's the gospel. We have to respond to it. We do it by repenting and believing. We repent. It's a change. It's a change of heart. It's a change of our mind. We repent and we believe. We believe Jesus is who he says he is. We get baptized. The next step, repent and believe and then be baptized. It's the next step. And then just like Simon and Andrew, James and John, we know Simon later became Peter, right? They immediately left their nets and stepped into discipleship. That's the third thing. It's immediate. I don't know what your story is like. I don't know what your journey is like with Jesus. My parents were in the early service. Kind of got to talk about them and how from the beginning, right? Dad was in ministry. I never got to skip church. Just never, ever. I'd do the whole thermometer thing, make it go up to 100 and something, and nope, we're going to church. Okay, again. I knew a ton of stuff. I knew a bunch about church and what it meant. I knew a lot of knowledge. Had a lot of pins. Do you remember getting pins and stickers and all that kind of stuff? I had all those things. And one morning in First Baptist Church Longview, I walked down an aisle. I filled out a card. Do you remember when you had to do that? Walked down the aisle, shook the pastor's hand, filled out a card. He introduces me to the entire church right in front of God and everybody and says, David's here to come trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. And then a couple weeks later, I went into baptistry. Got wet. It's great, neat, fun. It's kind of like a big pool. It's warm. But it wasn't until I was a freshman in high school and we had just moved here to Houston and the youth minister said this, do you know for certain if you died tonight, you would spend eternity with God? And even though I'd walked down the aisle, I'd filled out my card, even though I'd gone through the baptistry, I couldn't answer that question in the way that he was asking me to answer that. And what Scripture says is responding to Jesus and responding to the gospel. I wasn't sure. I wasn't certain. And then thankfully he said, you can be certain tonight. You can pray and ask Jesus to come be Lord and Savior of your life, forgive you of your sins, and to change your eternity from hell to heaven. And so on that night, I nailed that down. We have to respond to the invitation, Jesus' invitation to salvation, if we're going to be followers of him. We have to respond that way. Be baptized. It's the next thing we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do it immediately. If we had water right here, we would do it every Sunday. Stephen and Lewis and I talk about this all the time. If we had water, we'd do it every week. Baptism is that important. Don't delay. Don't delay. Don't push pause. Don't wait. The fishermen, they immediately leave to follow Jesus. They immediately drop what they're doing to follow Jesus. It's that important. There's no pause even next in their step of discipleship. They're immediately following Jesus, step for step. We're with him right the next. Look at the next section. If you just kind of glance ahead, verse 21, 22, it says, and immediately, there's Mark's phrase again, they're in the synagogue and Jesus is teaching. And there's the disciples. And it says they were astonished. We're going to come back to that in a minute. There was no pause. There's no delay in their discipleship. Doesn't matter how old you are when you come to Christ. There's not supposed to be a delay in your discipleship. It's now. It's the next step for you. They go together. It's not, oh, when I get ready. Oh, when I'm older, wiser, mature. I'm 49 and I'm still waiting on those things, right? If we keep waiting, we're never going to get there. The next step is to follow immediately this invitation and then take on this next step. Here's the second thing to note about following. This immediate step means to leave and follow, right? We're going to respond to the initial Jesus' invitation to salvation. We respond there. And then we immediately leave and follow. Notice this. You might write this down. Leaving is about priority in your life. It's not about distance. It's not about geography. It's not about blocking someone off from you. Leaving's about priority. Genesis 2:24 tells us this, right? For this reason, a father will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife. Is that about distance? No, history tells us the son lived with his parents. It's not about distance. It's about priority. It's about establishing a new family, a new unit. Leaving, as these disciples demonstrate, is about leaving and choosing new priorities. Jesus becomes their priority. Jesus, when he left heaven to come here, it was about priority of God's mission. Philippians 2 tells us that. It's about the priority of God's mission for him. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead, he left it behind. He humbled himself, became a servant, even to the point of death. It's about priority to God's mission. that Jesus responded, and he left. Leaving is about priority. What needs to change? Think about it. I don't know what it is for you. Ways that we think, things that we value, your outlook, the way we spend our time, the way we spend our money. What is it that's being transformed to look more like Jesus today because you have left an old way of life and responded to Jesus' call for a new way? The next thing we're talking about as we talk about follow is following is discipleship on and through a daily relationship. Right? He called Simon and Andrew and James and John, and he called them not just to keep up with him, but to follow him daily and to watch what he did, to hear what he said, to watch the way he interacted with people. And so as they followed, it was a daily thing for them. They went where he went, did what he did, watched what he said. And that's the kind of daily relationship we're talking about today. Over this next few weeks in this series, we're going to talk about new disciplines, maybe not new disciplines, old disciplines, spiritual disciplines for us that change us. Remember I said the number one thing that has the most impact on your spiritual health? It's daily Bible reading. Several studies out, and most recent, near and dear to my heart, that daily Bible reading is so important. In fact, it influences every area of your life. These disciples followed after Jesus, watched what he did. Like I said, they're in that synagogue in the next section here, and they're astonished at the way he teaches because he doesn't teach like everybody else. He's explaining things the way they've never heard him explained before. Why? Because he knew the Word of God. I know he was the Word of God, but he knew the Word of God. And they were amazed. They were astonished. They had questions. Jesus, you mean we're supposed to be good dirt? Remember that parable of soils? We're supposed to be good dirt? That's weird, right? We're supposed to, what are we supposed to do on the Sabbath? Are we supposed to work or not? Well, Jesus says the Sabbath is supposed to be your rest. It's supposed to be God's. He went to the heart. Jesus knew the Word of God, and we've got to know the Word of God. There's in this study where they say this is the most important thing to impact your spiritual health. They look at churches and churchgoers, and they call them average church attenders. And they say the average church attender reads their Bible less than 3 times a year. The average church attender says, I read my Bible regularly. 19% of the average church attenders say, I read my Bible regularly. 19%, 1 out of 5. I know this room is probably better than that. But our challenge is to stay close to Jesus and to follow him daily. And to do that, we need to be in God's Word. You know what the two excuses are for not reading Scripture? You probably do, right? First two. Top two, always, every survey you ever see. I'm too busy. This means yes, right? You identify? I'm too busy and I don't know how. Those are the two things. I'm too busy and I don't know how. And here's what, as I've been thinking about this, as I listen and I've done a little of the research and stuff like this, I think, because it's true in my life, my busyness, I say I'm busy, and that's become the social acceptable way to say I'm distracted. Someone says, what are you doing? Well, I'm busy. Oh, you never know how busy I am. I am so busy. Well, what are you doing? A couple of Saturdays ago, we had a little time. I sat down on the couch, pulled up Instagram. What do you do on Instagram? You follow. That's what we're talking about today, right? So I'm starting to follow along, and I'm on Instagram, and I'm looking at things. If you looked at my Instagram, you'd probably go, who do you follow, right? Because there's pictures of hunted animals, harvested, I think is the way you're supposed to say it now, and fish, and there's John Piper on there, and Christine Kane, and there's just also just a random assortment of stuff, and I'm scrolling through, I'm going, how did that 10-year-old kid kill a bigger whitetail than I have ever killed before? And I'm just looking, look at that giant fish she's holding, and I'm just scrolling. He's in Utah elk hunting. I know you could hunt elk in Utah, and I'm just scrolling through, man. I'm just going fast. There's one of my friends. He lives in Idaho now, and he's taking his kids bear hunting. And I mean, I'm just going through. And look, he's connected to one of my other friends who's in ministry, who's moving. I need to, so I'm checking out on that. And then, oh, this guy posted from Facebook. So I'm going to go over to Facebook, and I'm going over there. And who knew you could fry Brussels sprouts? Man, I just, there's, there is 2 minutes of my life I'll never get back because I am not going to do that, right? And so I'm just scrolling through. And Kendra says something from upstairs, like, what are we going to do for lunch or what are they? And I said, I'm busy. Hold on a second. And I looked down at my watch, and it had been an hour. It had been an hour that I was sitting here on this. Not so busy. I'm not saying you're not busy. I'm just saying don't let it be an excuse for being distracted. Because Jesus, the author of our salvation, is asking you to follow him daily. Asking you to stay step for step with him. And the best way to do it is by reading God's word. So here's my challenge. We'll talk some more about it later. 10 minutes a day for the next 40 days. Can you do 10 minutes a day for the next 40 days? If you're doing more than 10 minutes, certainly don't cut back. 10 minutes a day for the next 40 days. Let's change the statistic. 10 minutes a day for the next 40 days. 40 sounds like a good biblical number, right? That's 6 hours and 40 minutes, roughly. Over the next 640 minutes, you're awake. For those, it gets us to about August 17th. So get your calendars out. Put an alarm on 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Remember, you got this. That's what this is for. Set your calendar 10 minutes a day for the next 40 days. Because discipleship is a daily relationship. There's another piece to this. Discipleship and following is best done in relationships. Jesus called, intentionally called, a community of followers. You and me, we're to do this together. He called out these four fishermen right here to do life together with Jesus. I'm going to say it. I know life groups are my responsibility. Get in a life group. It's a small group. It is imperative for your spiritual growth. As you read scripture daily, being in a small group helps you. It holds you accountable. It helps make sure your doctrine's good. It helps making sure your heart is good. It makes you look more like Jesus as we talk about things, as we have conversations, as we Facebook, text, Instagram, scripture, and what Jesus is teaching us. A couple of months ago, I read an article about why I text my devotionals to my, I think it was his coworkers. And so I decided for my family, I'm going to start texting Kendra and my kids. Here's what I'm reading in scripture every day. Every day. You can ask them. You can ask them this morning. I think Aiden liked the text this morning, right in the middle of my first sermon. He had read it. But my kids are holding me accountable to reading scripture because God's word's not just something I do on Sunday. It is that important to me that it is a daily step that I take to follow him. You need somebody to help you be accountable. It's just life. I'll be glad to do it. I'll be glad to help. Wherever I can help, Lewis will be glad to help. Stephen will be glad to help. Any of our staff will be glad to help. Our life group leaders will be glad to help. Ladies with ladies, guys with guys, just to encourage you, figure it out. What does this really mean? Or here's what I'm doing. This morning I was reading 2 Chronicles. Josiah's just become king. Remember the 8-year-old king, right? 8 years into his reign, they find, get this for a second, they find the word of God as they were cleaning out the temple. Sounds a little odd, doesn't it, for God's people, that they had lost the word of God, number one. Number two, they're having to clean out the temple. And as he read, as it was read to him, he responds in humility, tearing his clothes. And my prayer for my kids and me is that we would know God's word and hear God's heart in his word and respond. so that we are staying close to Jesus daily as we follow him. We're built for community. We need each other. We need that encouragement as we go. It is that important to us that we find fellow believers, fellow followers, to help us as we go along the way. So who will you get to help you? Who will you get to mentor, disciple, coach, whatever word you want to use? Just walk alongside me as we go. It was important to Mark, man. He's got it. And notice this, as you look at the book of Mark, we're less than 100 words in, and he's talking about discipleship. Here's the gospel, and here's discipleship. Here's the gospel, and we've got to follow. And we've got to follow immediately. Here's some application we can make. That 10 minutes a day, the next 40 days, what is it going to take? Well, it's going to take a connection to Jesus. You're going to have to do this for Jesus, not for you, not for me, not to say at 40 days, hey, David, I checked this off. Yay, throw a party. No, stay connected to Jesus. Look for Jesus as you read God's word. Write things down that you see that speak to your heart. Things that you can pray for. Things that the Holy Spirit puts on your mind and your conscience. Stay connected to Jesus. Work on that connection. Next, be committed. It takes a commitment to Jesus. And there's where it comes, maybe sacrifice. Maybe you got the commitment is putting it in your calendar. Maybe the commitment is to get rid of some other things, right? We say we are so busy, 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 busy. And yet social scientists say that we watch more TV than we've ever watched as a culture. That we are on our devices more than we have ever been in the history of our society. And we're so busy. You're gonna have to sacrifice something somewhere for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Be committed. And lastly, confident. You're gonna have to have confidence in God to continue this on. I started running again, right? After a couple of knee injuries and surgeries and those kind of fun things. Running has not been my favorite thing to do, but I wanted to see if I could do it. It's been a couple of years since the last surgery, little scope. So I was wanting to make sure. It's kind of scared, it's a little scary. 100 yards in, if you had tried to get oxygen out of my lungs, you could not have found any. There was none there. And I'm sure the poor neighbor watering his yard was wondering what was going on, why I was sucking wind so bad. And he was probably laughing on the inside because nobody should sound like that when they're running. Or maybe he was laughing because he didn't want to give me mouth to mouth if I passed out. But that was 100 yards in. I'm thinking, okay, I can do 10 minutes. Right, I can do 10 minutes. I can get down one step in front of the other. And so there was some joy, there was some fear, there was a little tentativeness. What's that little hurt right there? Why does it hurt there? But you gotta keep going. Because there's a connection, there's commitment, there's confidence. I'm a little excited to see what tomorrow feels like, sounds like, looks like. Right? Let's go try this again. It's not too bad. Now 100 yards in, we're just starting to work out the lactic acid, you know, again, and now I can make a little further. But when you start something new, and we're talking about scripture reading, it's not always going to be easy. You've got to stay connected, and you've got to be confident that God's going to speak. That God's going to use his word that is alive and active and pierces, and God's gonna speak. Where do you start? There's a bunch of plans, right? There's a bunch of plans out there. Maybe you wanna start in the Gospel of John. Maybe you'll start in the Gospel of Mark. There's lots of discipleship stuff in here. Gospel of John, other different plans. How many of you have YouVersion on your phone? If you go to the home screen along the bottom, there are plans. Topically organized, right? If you're going through something right now, you can find a topic right there. If you've got a favorite pastor, there are topics by that pastor in a Bible reading plan that'll take you right about 10 minutes a day. There's Through the Bible Study Bible. that'll take you through the Bible in a year. I was reading another blog that I look at by D.A. Carson, who we've had come preach at our Champions campus. He's got one called For the Love of God. And it's a devotional. And if you read through it for a year, you've read through the entire Bible plus the New Testament twice. It's about just over four chapters a day. That doesn't sound like much, right? But you know how it is, 100 yards in, right? You're just sucking air. You're going, can I make it? Yes. Yes. But you got to have a plan. Got to set it. Maybe sacrifice the schedule a little bit. Maybe it's not the schedule, it's your distraction. Put it down. Write it in your calendar. Find a place. Right? I was in this, about the study for God's Word in a Lifeway magazine. I don't know. Lifeway's kind of famous to me because it always looks like everybody's perfect in all the pictures, right? And here's a lady with all her coffee, all her makeup on. I mean, the house is perfectly organized, and there's her Bible open right there. And that's the picture they put for us with her coffee. If you looked at me when I'm reading scripture in the morning, right? Sometimes it's right after that jog and sweat's pouring off of me. My hair is not done, what little I have, right? But God's Word is that important. For me to spend that kind of time in God's Word so that I'll look more like Jesus, so that I'd be a follower, not just a fan of Jesus, so that things would be different about me. Here's what they say about scripture reading, what it possibly does, where it ends up resulting in spiritual health. It says that the person who reads their Bible daily is more likely to confess their sin to God, more likely to ask forgiveness of others, is more likely to pray for a non-Christian. The person who reads their Bible daily is more likely to do what's right when it comes to a decision between right and wrong. And it goes on and on and on about the person who reads their Bible, how that one factor begins to reorient all of their life, and in Romans 12, to transform their mind. To transform their mind. That's what Scripture does for us. There's this great verse. You might write this down in your notes somewhere. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Peter, the guy that helped Mark with the gospel, gave him eyewitness accounts, as a disciple, says this: make every effort to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, godliness, brotherly love. And he says, by doing this and adding these qualities in increasing measure, listen to this, you keep your life from being unproductive and unfruitful. Adding to our faith, working on our faith, working on our heart, working on our mind by putting God's Word in it. It's that important. I would do a show of hands. How many of you can do 10 minutes a day for the next 40 days? I won't. All right, go for it, whatever. We'll take a picture and ask you later. Nope, just kidding. You know there's a picture somewhere. What's most important is why we do this, right? It's to follow Jesus. You want to conquer busyness and I don't know how? Stay close to Jesus. Sounds very simple. It's not easy. Sounds very simple. Stay close to Jesus. Follow him daily. And he'll take care of the busyness and the distractions. He'll take care of the I don't know how with the simple. I love you. I've called you. I have more for you. What does Jesus say about his burden and his yoke? What is it? It's light. It's easy. And then he says this, for us who are busy, truly busy, or maybe just distracted, your soul will find peace and rest. I think it's worth it to stay in God's Word. 10 minutes a day, start somewhere. 40 days a week. I mean, 40 days, over the next 40 days. 40 days a week. That's really busy. What would it look like? Think about this. Let's close our eyes. We're going to wrap up. What would you look like if you spend 10 minutes a day for the next 40 days in God's word? What would be different about you? What would be different about our church? What would be different about our worship? What would be different about your family if you spent 10 minutes a day over the next 40 days? If you made it your priority as you follow Jesus, what would it look like with your neighbors, with your lost friends, if you spent 10 minutes a day the next 40 days?